The next case was presented by Dr. Steve Freeland to Dr. Mac Roach.
Back around when he was 60, he had a PSA in the teens. He's coming from South America, so they weren't quite in tune with PSA screening. I mean, he had a PSA in the teens, had a biopsy, which was negative. I don't have the details, whether it was 6-core, 12-core, biopsy negative, and now his PSA is 160. And they do a biopsy down in South America, and he had moderate volume. I forget the exact number of cores, moderate volume 4+3. So he had a CT scan done there, which demonstrated several 2-centimeter nodes in the pelvis. He had a questionable lesion in his neck on his bone scan, but he also had an auto accident and still complained a little bit of neck pain there. CT scan was negative. So he comes to see me and what to do. And we kind of went through all the options. And, you know, I didn't think with the PSA of 160 and these large nodes that he has, it's really systemic therapy. So we put him on LHRH agonist. He actually saw a medical oncologist as well at Duke. And I meant him to be on combined androgen blockade, but somehow he got a 1-month prescription and never really followed up with it in South America. I think it was more miscommunication than him not really being compliant. So he comes back 4 months later with a PSA now of 0.9. So I was quite happy with that degree of PSA decline in 4 months. But the one thing that I thought, actually two aspects of this case that are interesting that I'd love to kind of get your feedback would be, one is testosterone is 52, when technically castrate is below 50. So given this pretty good PSA response, we repeated the CT scan, these lymph nodes are gone. Couple sub-centimeter nodes, too small to characterize on CT, bone scan unchanged. So given a pretty good clinical response, PSA response, what should I be making in this testosterone of 52?
How often do you see that?
We don't usually, at least as urologists, it's not something we routinely do is check testosterone. I think my medical oncology colleague checked it, and now I don't know what to do about the information. I mean, we came up with a plan, but I'd love to.
So I've had a collection of patients that are sort of like this. PSAs of 1,000, PSAs of 90. My highest PSA was a 50-something-year-old gentleman from Napa with a PSA of 3,900.
Wow.
Bulky periaortic nodes.
This is presenting.
Presenting. Seminal vesicle involvement. He actually was referred to me from Seattle. He went to see Håkan Rogde for a seed implant. He thought that was the thing to do. And Dr. Rogde said, well, I don't think you're a good seed implant candidate. Go see Mac Roach. So he was already on hormone therapy. His nodes on hormone therapy shrunk about 50%. His PSA was very low. I don't remember the exact number. And we treated him with radiotherapy, and that was about 7 years ago. All of his nodes, all of his imaging abnormalities disappeared because we did IMRT to the periaortic and pelvic nodes. He's still on hormone therapy because I'm afraid to stop it. Now he's in his mid to late 50s.
How's he doing on hormone therapy?
You know, he's a little overweight, but, you know, so are a lot of men. Yeah,
I mean, he's okay with it?
Well, he'd like to stop. I'm afraid to stop him, but his PSA is less than 0.02.
Hmm.
How do you manage that? Now, I have had patients, our usual practice is to use combined androgen blockade with radiation until the radiation is over, and then just to use LHRH alone. So I've had a number.
What's the thinking there?
That's because every randomized trial did that. None of the randomized trials with hormones and radiation continued the antiandrogens. The BOLA study only used it for like a month, some antiandrogen. RTOG 9202 used 4 months of combined and then stopped it. RTOG 8531 used LHRH alone as adjuvant. So we usually stop it. Well, it turned out that in some patients, I've had PSAs that were about this range, which is a little bit higher than I would expect to see. So what I've found is that by adding an antiandrogen, the PSA will go lower.
Right.
So in your patient, if you look at the slope at which his PSA is declining, if you add an antiandrogen, that his PSA will probably decline more substantially than it has before.
Right. And that was our plan, to add the antiandrogen. I guess something I hadn't thought of, would you radiate this guy now?
First of all, I'm going to assume that this lesion in his neck is a red herring and he does not have a metastasis
Correct.
To his spine.
That's been our
So I would
assumption.
Radiate.
You would.
Enlarged lymph nodes don't. I'm extrapolating. In RTOG 9413, in a randomized trial with high-risk patients, the median PSA around 20, 70% with T2C to T3 and 70% with Gleason 7 to 10. High-risk patients, we showed that they benefited in terms of progression-free survival. So that suggests that radiation does have activity against occult nodes. And in the patients that have either by imaging, by pathology, or mainly by imaging, the patients that we've had positive prostatectomies with enlarged nodes that we've radiated, they've all gone away. Now, maybe this patient with the 3,900 would have had the same response with just hormones. I don't think so. 7 years, PSA less than 0.02. After several months, his nodes were still enlarged. Interesting thing is I did a CT scan after the treatment, a few months after, and I showed it to the radiologist, and they said it was normal. And I was so surprised, I went back to them, and I showed them where the enlarged nodes were, and the enlarged nodes had gotten smaller. So I think that the fact that if those nodes are the same nodes that were bigger before, I would assume there's persistent disease there, and I would predict that if you radiated those nodes, they would disappear.
Does the testosterone of 52 worry you? I mean, well, you would add the antiandrogen.
I think the antiandrogen may help. I mean, you have a choice. With the 52, you either can surgically castrate him, which he probably wouldn't be too excited about.
No.
Or you add the antiandrogen, which presumably will enhance the biologic effect.
Would you switch LHRH agents and that he may have a better response to a different LHRH?
I have not been impressed with data on that, although I've had some patients tell me that they feel differently with one LHRH versus another LHRH. But I haven't been impressed with data to show that a person who fails to become castrated with one level. The other thing I would consider is, when was this drawn?
Was it towards the end of those 3 months?
It was a four-month shot, and it's towards the end of the four months.
Yeah.
And there's actually, you know, Matthew Smith published an interesting paper that obese men tend to still have castrate testosterone, but the higher range. And he postulated just a lot of medicines, chemotherapy, we dose per body surface area. Hormonal therapy, we don't. Everybody gets the exact same shot.
Is this man obese?
He's overweight, which is actually something I want to get back to. What I did in terms of his diet, we can come back to that. It's a good point.
And it's interesting that in Asia, they use half the dose of LHRHs that we use. So, in fact, we have dose adjusted it for the body size of American men. The only thing I would add in antiandrogen, and I would radiate him. Now, I bet that if we have a panel of 10 experts, many of them would argue against radiation in this setting. But I think that for every other cancer site that we know of, we treat the nodes with radiation, and it works. And we had one randomized trial that suggests it's beneficial. And there's a study from Sweden, Gransfors, I think the name is. They did a randomized trial of radiation alone versus hormones and radiation, and they showed the biggest effect was in patients with node-positive disease. That doesn't prove that you couldn't get the same thing with hormone therapy alone. That question hasn't been answered. I do have patients, by the way, and we're working on an abstract on this, who had pathologically node-positive disease, whose radical prostatectomy was aborted, who I treated with hormones and radiation, and they have been off hormone therapy for years now, and their testosterone is normal, and their PSA is very low, and they haven't failed. So I think that there are people who can be rendered long-term disease-free, even with positive nodes with hormones and radiation. So what did you do with it?
Yeah, what did you do?
We gave him a second four-month shot. We put him on the antiandrogen therapy, and he'll come back and see me in 4 months. So the plan was if he repeated testosterone, if it's still high, we were thinking about maybe using a four-month shot every 3 months or a six-month shot every 3 months and trying to kind of increase the dose of the LHRH agonist that way to drive that testosterone down.
Well, you may want to check his testosterone at different time points.
Right.
To see whether if it's just at the end that it's starting to wear off, you might actually want to just do it more frequently rather than do it every 4 weeks. You maybe needs it every 3.5 weeks.
Well, that's what we're going to give a 6-month shot every 3 or 4 months.